flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday. Oh my gosh, it's so nice out there. Beautiful. We didn't get to listen to your interview with the mayor because Andrew and Kevin and I had an appointment at Hooters. So,
very important.
For the wings?
Burger. Yeah. The Hooters downtown?
Yes.
I didn't know that was still open.
I didn't either.
They didn't appear to either. So okay. They seemed surprised when we came in.
Like, hey, you're here.
Oh, wow.
You guys got any wings? You're like, I don't
know. We weren't alone. What was it, like 20 people in there?
So why'd you go to Hooters?
It's my top five favorite sandwiches.
Yeah, but it was funny because that wasn't the plan.
No, we're heading.
And Dave pulls up and there's a spot right in front. He goes, it's karma.
Yeah.
You have to go now.
Yeah, we're heading to Chili Max, which we love. We'll go tomorrow. But I was going around the block and I'm like, oh, Hooters sounds good, but there are no parking spaces. Then some guy pulled out. I'm like,
yep, like right at the front door.
I've never been to Hooters.
It is quality. Rach, you can tell him.
Yeah, Hooters is good. I had never had it until I came on the show. I always thought men just went there because of the outfits. And I'm like, yeah, right. I'm sure the wings are so good. Turned out Rachel's convinced.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
These wings are good.
I mean, let's be honest, though. Guys go for both, right? I mean, it's not like.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm past all that.
All right.
Boobies don't faze
no,
me.
No, it's just like you're old. Your kid's older than the waitresses. You're like, not.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Yeah. You're like, no, it's not. That's just not the same.
Apparently, Show Me's is still a thing.
Never been to one.
So yeah, I used to go to the one on the. There used to be one on the landing.
I thought that was the only one.
No, there were like suburbs
out west
and
stuff, yeah.
There used to be one in Fairview Heights. Hmm. But I don't know. I saw a social media post, like a reel on Instagram, and it was a guy was talking to a Show Me's waitress, and I thought, oh, I didn't know they were still open, but I think it's out west.
Because that's Hooter-esque.
Yeah. Same kind of deal.
Off-brand
Hooters. But there used to be multiple locations.
And then Twin Peaks is the off-brand of Show Me's.
Or is it the...
That's a chain.
Yeah, the Twin Peaks is.
Yeah.
I've never been there. I've never been to that, and I've never been to Show Me's.
And the off-brand of Twin Peaks is just Lumpy's.
You're really satisfied with yourself, aren't you?
I've never seen her laugh that hard.
Oh, I see.
I'm going to open a Lumpy's.
Nobody.
Your catchphrase is lower your expectations.
It's not as good as you think.
We're all 50 plus in here.
It's so stupid.
Come on in, I guess.
I guess if you want to be here.
There used to be a place on the east side, like St. Clair Square area, not east side. But it was a gentleman's club, tiny little place called Dottie's Body Shop. Maybe it's still there.
I don't think I've been there, but I know what you're talking
about. This had to be literally late 80s. And me and my roommate and another guy went... And we sat down, and our moms brought us beers. I mean, it was just terrible. And we got up to leave, and it was like a movie. The bouncer behind us put his hands on my shoulders and pushed me back down. He's like, you'll have a couple beers, won't you? I'm like, yes, sir, I will.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, I will.
Please don't leave.
I've never heard of a bouncer kicking somebody in.
Yeah.
So doing the thing where they grab you by the shirt and throw you, but it's into.
Yeah.
Go back and sit down.
Yeah, it's into the place and not out of it.
It was pretty clear we were not welcome to leave.
He gives you his ID and he says, get back in there.
Hands you a 20. Here you go, buddy.
Yeah, right.
So good.
This will last you all day.
Oh, how awful of a place do you have where the staff won't let you go?
Yeah. I wonder if that place is still open.
That's awesome.
Could do lives for him.
<That's great. laughs> You'll never want to leave.
Heard you're a fan.
We won't let you go.
Good luck getting out.
Yeah.
Dottie's Body Shop.
The guys got to experience the new Jeep today.
Dude, that was nice, man. I know you have your back and forth because you have the old relationship with the old one. The new one's better, Dave. You've upgraded. It is so cool. First of all, I like what did I
it's
say?
Like someone telling you, your old girlfriend sucked.
This is a car.
Let me get back together.
It's a car.
Yeah, they have, I think he has your best in mind when he says that.
I'm sure he does.
I mean, it's cool, man. Yeah, I told you, I said that we got in there, and I'm like, it's like being in an attack vehicle, man. It's like, you know, it's like you're boxed in there, and it's got like all the cool little buttons that look like they could shoot out stuff.
Right, sorry I didn't make it. Rachel's working on her show.
Yeah, I was, but that's okay. Sometimes the boys got to have a boys' lunch.
Sometimes
you know?
We do.
Rachel's like, I get sick of you guys.
<We're> like, that's why you went to Hooters.
No, I just got back and I need a break.
Boys and I like to go out sometimes and just say the F word a lot. So.
Which one? Man.
Friends.
Rachel, you were gone for so long, it felt like. And these people in here could not keep their composure.
Really?
I tried really hard. Yeah.
Steve checked in on me every day. He really did. He's like, you okay?
Yeah, everything all right?
Were you guys barking with the dogs again?
Oh, my gosh, they did.
Not like the first time.
No, it was more reserved.
Bad.
Yeah, it was more reserved this time.
That first show when she was gone.
But wasn't the first one a longer trip?
Yes.
I think it got worse as the time went.
The first time, when it was really bad, it's because Rachel was in Japan and I was in Switzerland.
Yeah.
So it was just you guys. I was here, so I feel like you held back a little bit.
Yeah, because and we had Trish, too, so there's a little bit of balance, you know, over the course of a few days.
Not a lot.
Trish was barking
Trish
with
probably
us.
Probably the dirtiest of all of us. Like, well, we could put Trish in there. Like, no.
That's going to fuel the fire.
Yeah. I like girls like that, though. I'm uncomfortable with prim and proper.
Oh, man.
Like the ones who are really direct.
Yeah.
Just tell you what they think. I'm such a big fan.
No one is ever... I always tell Trish this. She is the number one caller outer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you can say something. Like, the one time when I asked her... So, you know how I am. I'm always constantly asking questions. I said, like, what are your two favorite childhood possessions that you had? And she goes, oh, my God. I know you're just asking me so you can tell me yours. So go ahead. And I completely was.
You're like, got him.
I'm 60 years old. I'm going like, no. I don't even have any.
I just thought of it.
Yeah, I just thought of it.
Yeah.
I really want to know what yours were.
I love it. I would rather have my feelings hurt a little bit by someone who's a little too direct than someone who pretends to be your best friend to your face. But I feel like I've always been that way. I think, Rachel, you said you were too, that never got into the girl drama, like in high school or when I was younger. Those just weren't my friends. I had my best friends were my sister, my mom. So I didn't need that BFF that people have now. So a lot of my friends... Two were sports oriented, so they're guy friends, and was able to avoid the drama. And even now, as an adult, definitely my closest female friends, like Noah, is just incredibly direct. You always know where you stand. And that's just, it's so much more real. It's so much easier just to be direct without being, you don't have to be mean. She's
what
not mean.
What percentage would you say people are like that?
Direct and not many. I don't know. What would you say?
20?
Like, yeah, I was going to say
but
one
direct,
out of five.
But not cruel, because don't you think some mean people pretend like they're
just
being direct?
Direct.
Well,
just
no,
being
I mean, I think they're a subcategory of that 20% that Ryan's talking about.
About right.
Yeah.
Because I don't think too many people are just outright mean to others, like just openly.
That's probably five.
Yeah.
It's probably
because if there were more, you'd notice it more and they'd be shunned more.
We should do way more shunning. We don't do enough shunning any longer.
Somehow we've overcome the shunning. I don't know how it happened.
Mm.
The things people would be shunned for now, it's just like, hey, that raises your stock.
I wouldn't have made it in the 40s when everyone was just yelling at each other and slapping each other, and it was just so aggressive back then, at least according to movies.
Yeah, right, right. It's like, well, that's the Three Stooges, though.
I know, I was going to say, yeah. Yeah. Three Stooges.
Shut up,
poking
you.
Each other in the eye? Why did they do that so much?
All you got to do is put the hand on the nose and you're safe. Just do this, Amy.
And there were defenses,
you
but...
just do this.
Anytime there was a 2x4, someone's going to step on one end and hit you in the face with the other.
Grandpa, why did you guys always poke each other in the eye?
I guess there were just 2x4s everywhere back then.
Yep.
The doors were smaller, and everybody always tried to go through them at the same time.
Right.
Have any of you guys, on that, have you ever done the accidental stepping on a rake thing?
I've never done it to the point like Sideshow Bob where it hits me in the face.
Oh.
I've stepped on a rake.
Have
like you?
You
said, not Sideshow Bob.
I did that once by accident. I did it once, and it conked me. I was like... It, and I had a little red, like a circle on my forehead. Oh. Something get smoked.
Dead square in the forehead.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, this was probably like 20 years ago doing yard work. I just forgot that I had put it down, and I just took one step, and as I turned, I stepped, and it went, whoa-boom, and it made the big noise.
I remember watching my best friend Stacy step on a board with a 16-penny nail in it.
No! Yeah.
And I saw it come out the top, and then her mom chased her down with Mercuricone.
Yeah,
Mean
I stepped streets. On I stepped on a nail like that when I was a kid, but not one that went all the way through.
Yeah,
it was probably you know like
yeah. When we're kids, you just have boards with nails in them in the tall grass.
And well, we were also barefoot more.
Oh, all the time
in our day.
I would.
Were you a barefoot person outside?
No.
Ranch?
Oh man, I was.
Yeah.
And I'm a tenderfoot.
Were you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we would no lie get stung step on a honeybee.
Yeah, yeah, happened a couple times.
Yeah, several times a year.
Yeah,
several times a summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
I will say, though, after that one time with the nail, I don't think I did that very much after that.
Mm.
I'm like, yeah, I don't think I want to do that anymore. That hurt.
I'm a big shoes guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've always been a big shoes
you
guy.
Do
when you
like
leave the
shoes,
house.
Though.
Well, when you leave the house, you can't be walking out with your feet.
When you're
doing?
Like eight.
Do you have embarrassing feet?
No, it's just I don't like other people's feet. I don't, you know. So
you're an anti-foot guy.
Yeah.
I'm an anti-foot.
You're the balance to the fetish people.
One of the, I don't understand.
The yin and the yang of the foot fetish.
Like the people who, the women, and I guess men do it too, but I think a lot of women make money, you know, selling foot pics. I don't get that. I don't get paying for that.
I really wonder if that's something, just the wiring of your brain, or if you see something as a three-year-old, it either attracts you or it repulses you.
I don't know.
It has to be. And here's another thing I really, it grosses me out. This is weird, I think. But when you're at a wedding, for example, and it's dancing time and the wedding's been over and you're in the reception and, you know, it's been going on. And then women who take their shoes off, barefoot, dancing on the floor, I hate it.
You want no part of that?
No, it really disgusts me.
I will say it is gross, but you do get to a point where the
you can't
pain,
wear the shoes.
I mean, when I say the pain is unbearable, it is radiating up your body into your eyeballs. Like it's just because your feet are going to die. And I will say an amount of pain, it changes the equation. And what you think is gross, you don't care because there's enough pain where it's bad. So I bring flip-flops, which I think has become a thing to bring flip-flops or flat shoes that you can just slide on because you don't want to stop dancing. Like, it's so much fun to dance at a wedding. It's with friends and family. There's no creepers. You're just having a ball. And you don't want to miss it because of your shoes. But I will say pain changes the algorithm for sure.
Yeah, I get that. I know some people do bring, like, flats or something.
Yeah, I always bring flats. Because I'm not a big barefoot
person. My worst wedding experience was I was in my buddy Dan Schnurman's wedding from law school down in Houston. And it was like a 3-day thing and just really cool and young and single. And, you know, I was a groomsman. And so they sat me next to this bridesmaid who was really attractive. And she was wearing like an ivory dress and I had a glass of red wine.
Oh, no.
And I turned toward her and I'm like, well, let's get right into me. And like, boom, hit it and went all over, just spilled on. And I was just done. I was done. At that point, no one would come near me. So, and it was too bad because I was looking good. My wig was tight and right. So, yeah.
You're about to ask her 2 favorite childhood toys.
Yeah, I was.
And then have that pained look on your face like you can't wait for her to stop talking so you can tell her yours.
It's like, well, I really love my light bright. I'm like, yes, okay. This is fascinating, but...
I loved light brights. Turn on the magic and say goodnight.
I had a light bright.
Light bright, light bright.
You know my Light Bright story, right? I was sick and I couldn't keep anything down. I was about 7. And my mom and dad were trying to put a suppository where suppositories go.
Yeah.
Wow.
But in typical Jack and Francis, they didn't hip me to it. They bought me a Light Bright, which should have been my first red flag. And they're like, why don't you just play that on the couch, laying on your stomach? And I'm like, rock on. And so I'm laying there. I'm about halfway through the clown's nose. All of a sudden, my pants are around my ankles and just legs akimbo. And they just start, yeah. So I have a interesting relationship with the Light Bright. Every time I see that clown, I'm like, I know you.
Dave's like, Moon River.
Do you like it?
I know what you do.
Do you like it more now?
Only on the weekends.
Dude.
Yeah, when you're a kid, you don't even have the concept of a suppository.
Yeah, man.
So it's a pill in your
it
butt?
It sounds like something out of bank, honestly. Right, right, yeah.
Right. Right, how's going to the bank going to make me better? Make me better.
Pretty make a suppository.
Oh, that sounds like a great prank to pull on a teenager. Tell him go to the bank.
Ask for the suppository. Make a suppository.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a deposit slip. Just let him know it goes in my suppository. That would be a good prank.
Yeah.
They still make those? I'd like to pick some up on the way home.
Suppositories?
Yeah. Do they still make them?
Don't they make you go to the bathroom?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Wait, so why did you need that if you were throwing up?
Because it was, my understanding is, it was medicine that once it goes up, it doesn't come back.
Oh.
And yeah.
There are different medicines. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Like that one can be, well, you can't hold anything down, and this is the
well, still
literally
this,
coming
oh,
in the back
God.
Door.
Still to this day, it's the way I take ibuprofen.
Yeah.
And your temperature.
Like a puppy. What is it? What is it?
You have to stand in the mirror.
You see the people? You see the people who do
I have
do
a
take,
tail.
Ew.
105.
There are people who take coffee up there. Have you seen that?
Yeah. It cleans you out, apparently.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a bad thing that, like teenagers were doing, like, somehow to get drunk or high doing it
I
that way?
I think you're right.
Yeah,
I
alcohol.
Think they were.
Was it?
Yeah.
Alcohol suppository.
All righty. On that note.
Yep.
Open a suppository bar.
Yeah. Well.
I have a fever and I'm drunk.
What would you call it?
Bottoms up?
Trying to walk in on your hands. We just hit the wall. Never had it all. 126 DGS. Rach and I have officially been working together way too long. Yesterday, we were just sitting in our office and we were talking and she goes, do you have a cold sore? And I'm like, no. And I even said it like that. Like, when you get a cold sore, you can tell like 2 or 3 mm-hmm. days before it shows up, like you feel the tingle. I'm like, no. And I got some on my mouth. Maybe I'm rubbing it. Last night, middle of the night, I wake up. I'm like, oh my God, I have a cold sore. I came in today. I'm like, how the hell did you know? It's insane.
I could just see it.
That's... Yeah, you need to go back to Japan for a while. Been doing this too long. Oh, I had a cool night last night. How long do we have here?
1 minute.
Okay, I can do it. First of all, O.B. Clarke's rocks.
Yeah.
I love O.B. Clarke's. When I was a kid, my brother gave me a 1972 blonde Telecaster. Beautiful guitar. And I beat the hell out of it and he took it back. And then 25 years ago when I started playing in my band, I bought another 72 yellow Telecaster and I played it in 500, 700 gigs, something like that with the Dave Glover Band. And last night I gave it to Nick for his 30th birthday. And it was so
nice.
Cool. That's pretty cool.
It was just so... He was all emotional. I was all emotional. I'm going to start crying now. But it was just so, like, he tried to not take it.
Mm-hmm.
It's too nice. It's too expensive. No. I'm like, I've had my time with it. Someone before me had 25 years with it.
Yeah.
It's time for you to have 25 years with it. You give it to my grandson or daughter.
There you go. Family heirloom.
Family heirloom.
That's good.
Phoebe's like, meanwhile, over here with nothing.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of Season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
DGS on KMOX. Wheels just totally set Amy up on the break. He was like, so you can eat a whole bowl of pasta in Italy and not gain any weight. And she's like, oh, yeah, because it's not ultra processed. He's like, it's no difference at all.
Well, I mean,
calories in, calories out.
No, you just like, I get the differences and I understand how they have negative impacts. But like the idea that I can just eat all I want, like their lifestyle is different than ours. It's not just that. It is that their food is different. But it's also that their lifestyle is different than ours.
Sure.
And they don't overeat like we do. We overeat.
But we're not talking about lifestyles. We're talking about individual people. And I like can say, like, yeah, if you're not eating ultra processed foods, you can consume more and your body will process it differently. You're going to feel different. And there are certain foods that that do help you. Eating cleaner will help you lose weight versus ultra processed foods, which are quantifiably not good for you.
Yeah. Seems to be one of the, like, right up there with smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's we had everywhere. A Washington Post reporter on just go way in depth about, like, how exactly we treat our foods. The EU isn't blocking a lot of those foods just for kicks.
Right.
Right. But then we look at other things the EU does and goes, yeah, we can't do that. That's stupid.
We're talking about food, though.
No, I know. But the whole point was, the clip that I was referring to was somebody's like, you can just eat and eat and eat and eat. And no, you can't. You have to eat like a normal human. And if you eat like a normal human and you eat better food, then you're going to have a better result. But if you think you're like, well, I can just eat all I want. Well, no, you can't. There are heavy people in Europe, too. You know, I mean, like, they're just not as many as... Yeah, there are. And I guarantee you, I mean, I've been to a lot of places. It's not as common. Like, for example, when I was in Italy, in Milan, everybody's skinny. Everybody's, you know, gorgeous. Everybody's dressed to the T. And you get to other places and they're normal and they look more like what you would picture here.
I guess my guess is probably hyperbole.
Dreams.
They were probably making a point. They weren't saying you can actually eat indefinitely and never gain weight. They were speaking more in hyperbole. It probably felt like they could keep eating because that is how I felt when I went to Israel, when I went to Switzerland. I felt like, wow, I can keep eating.
You also
I
did
feel
a lot of
okay.
walking, right?
Yeah, it's going to be like, yeah, you guys are like
in Switzerland,
literally hiking
not
the mountains.
In Israel. Not in Israel. We didn't. We did a lot of eating, cultural stuff.
Speaking of heavy, have you seen the rapper who weighs 554 pounds who is suing Lyft for multi-millions of dollars?
What was her name?
I have seen this
guy. I forget her name. It's a female.
It's a dude. There's a dude that's like 20 years old
and
he's huge.
She called for a Lyft. Dave the guy Blunt. Showed up in a Mercedes-Benz with low-profile tires, which I don't understand, and he told her quite respectfully, it seems, I'm sorry, but I can't take you for the ride. It's more about the tires than your weight. And she said, nope, you're gonna take me. I've been in smaller cars than this. He's like, I can't do it. It won't take the weight. I'm really, really sorry. And so she's suing them for like $50 million because she said specifically it hurt her feelings. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think we get $50 million for hurt feelings. I can understand you're trying to make a point about, you know, treat people with respect if it wasn't done that way. But if it sounds like it was handled respectfully. And again, it's not necessarily everyone else's job to accommodate me or you or anyone else. I mean, airlines have this same issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is it any different than an airline saying you have to book two seats or we can't do it or whatever. I mean, like, it's not any different in that regard, right?
You try to accommodate, and I'm not just Team Lyft. I just, but the hurting my feelings things bothered me. But he said, I will call you an XL, which will be like an SUV, which will be better. And she said that hurt her feelings too. So,
like, I mean, I understand the idea of accessibility and companies should take steps for that. Because for a number of different reasons. This particular case, I don't know a whole lot about it other than what you're telling me. It seems unreasonable, but I guess the idea is the unreasonable on her part. But I guess you've seen lawsuits before. You went to law school. You, I mean, you get it, that the purpose is punitive, and she's not going to see $50 million, right? So the idea is maybe Lyft has to make sure they accommodate people who are in my position, which I do understand, but she should also probably not call for a smaller car if she can't fit in a smaller car or if it's not good for the car, right? Like, I don't know. I don't have a strong feeling about this either way. I really kind of see both ends of it.
It's really different now. When I was an attorney 25 years ago, we used to say no all the time. Mm-hmm. And now that the and people threaten all the time, like, well, I'm going to tell everyone I know. Like, okay, there's eight people.
Yeah.
But now if you tell everyone you know, it can be 8 million people. And companies just seem way too afraid to let it go. So I'll bet you'll get a million.
Yeah. Well, and also reading a little bit, she just, you know, it said like, so every big person you turn down because of the wheels. And I would say there are, right, there are big people in the United States as well. But like 554 is somewhat unusual. That's an unusual weight.
Yeah.
So he's probably saying, no, I can accommodate, you know, bigger people to this point. But I think a reasonable person would recognize that 554 is a unique weight. That is not common even among mm-hmm. bigger people.
Let's do a simple little rabbit hole today. Is age truly just a number? You hear people say that all the time, especially people my age.
Well, I suppose if things are going great for you, then it's just a number, right?
It's a good point.
Well, every aphorism has its limits, right? That's the thing.
That's what I always say.
You can say, you can say age is just a number. Well, I mean, yes and no.
I'm
going to
handle all these aphorisms.
I will say this. Like, you can say, I'm 40 and I'm in the best shape of my life. You could be one of those people. What I noticed is I feel great. I love running. I do feel better at 40 than I did at 25, except I do need more sleep. I could get away with 3-4 hours of sleep. It's not healthy, but I could get away with it in my 20s. I can tell you, I don't recover as quickly. And just being super in tune, you know, with my body because of running and training so hard and so forth, I can say I'm still hitting faster times, way faster than in my 20s and 30s. However, I cannot bounce back as quickly. It just that I notice with age. I'm tired.
Is distance running a 30 plus game?
Yeah. Yeah. They call it an old person sport. Yeah.
Interesting.
But if you ran with this level of training and intensity at 27, mm-hmm. would you have been faster then than you are now?
Maybe in short distances?
Because, I mean, I see the people that are winning Olympics, mm-hmm. or not Olympics, winning marathons.
Mm-hmm.
They're not all late 30s and 40s. A lot of them are in their 20s.
Some of the men is actually a little bit younger, especially like the elites right within the elite world. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Kenya and Ethiopia just dominate the sport. But the American record holder was... The American record was set by like a 39-year-old. Before that was like a 38-year-old. Now I think it was a 30-year-old. But in general, you lose your fast twitch muscles. So you get elite 5 and 10K runners who get slower with age in the shorter distances,
right,
faster. Because some of it too, so much of the marathon is mental and suffering yeah. and mental strength. So there's also some women who come back from having a kid and set a PR because it totally reset their standard for the pain they can bear. And I swear, my friend set all her PRs after she had kids because she goes, once you're in labor for 24 hours, there's nothing a marathon can do to you that comes close.
Yeah.
I have a PSA for everyone in this room. Get ready for the new Wheeler.
Oh, no.
He started testosterone shots today.
No. Oh, yeah. No.
Can't wait.
Dude.
You're doping?
Look out. No, it's with a medical professional. My guys at Game Day, they're awesome. They do a great job.
Ben Boyd's doing it for him.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Ben Boyd is doing it. It's like the old Mark McGuire.
Let me guess. It's a bottoms-up bar, right?
Yeah, bottoms-up bar. That'd be a heck of a suppository, right?
Lumpy's is not that kind of bar.
Did a testosterone suppository?
Get some Diana Ball.
No, what are they?
That's not that kind.
They put it in your butt.
Dude, you're
where's
going,
the shot go?
You're
going
to gain 20 pounds of muscle by April 4th.
God,
why don't we all do testosterone shots and see who gets
just
stronger?
See how that goes.
Yeah, why not? That's a good challenge.
The most aggressive show in radio.
We come on every day. Listen, bros,
It's time
I'm
you
so
get going.
Tired of your aphorisms.
Every aphorism has its limits. How many times have I said that?
It'll be all of us like Hulk Hogan.
Didn't you listen to me?
I'm really curious to know where the shot goes.
Where does the shot
go? This one was the arm.
It's in the arm.
Yeah, you can do, you get it? In, you can do arm, leg, or butt.
Ooh, leg sounds bad.
Like the quad.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Is your arm fine. Fattier than your butt?
No.
Well, maybe but I know
what a great pickup line. Because your butt's pretty fatty.
Yeah.
Ain't no fat up there. Look at those guns.
That's what I mean. So shouldn't you get
it doesn't matter.
The shot
shots
in your
don't
butt?
Bother me.
Oh, they don't?
No.
Wow.
I'm a ginger. We don't feel pain the same way.
Here that is go. True. That yeah. is actually
here we
a truth.
Go.
What? This hasn't kicked
there's
in
there's
yet.
There's true science behind that.
It hasn't kicked in yet.
Kevin's not full of crap on this. That's
no, it's
true. Yeah.
Even the anesthesiologist
yeah.
told me
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, ginger day.
That's right.
Yeah.
We should, why? You know, wish we had him hitting a baseball every day. We could just see if he's, you know, better.
Measure those exit velos. Let's go. We'll go over to All-Star Performance. See my guys.
You ever seen Roadhouse?
Oh,
Patrick
yeah.
Swayze.
Yeah.
And he has that line where he says, pain don't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That a ginger wrote that.
Yeah.
The guy with red hair wrote that.
I just remember coming home one time visiting my parents. My mom's in the family room and she's just like watching this movie and she kind of has a interested look on her face. I'm like, what are you watching? She's like, I don't know. I think it's called Roadhouse. But someone just got thrown through a window.
That's Roadhouse. The old one or the new one?
The old one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you get
I
thrown
was
through
like,
a window.
I just, my mom, and she's like, but now I got to see what happens.
Oh, man.
That's my mom was watching Roadhouse.
Which of the Mark scores is the most adventurous in that way? Like, I know you're all very mm-hmm. proper, mannerly people. Who's the most out there?
You mean as far as like watching movies?
Eh, all of it.
The just fun
pushing,
one.
The pushing, who pushes,
your,
who's the fun one of the Marx?
Yeah,
who pushes? Who pushes the boundaries of the Marx Gore's family ethos?
Who says poop the most?
Yeah,
probably my brother's the one. I'm up there with me and my brother, but my brother is probably the one that would be like, yeah, let's go
He's
see
the
that
fun
movie.
One.
He's pretty fun.
The risk taker.
He is. Yeah, but not like. I mean, it depends what you mean by risk.
Well, we're grading on a curve here, Amy.
Going to the movie theater? Yes. He's the risk taker at
we're
the movie theater.
We're going on a curve. We don't exactly think you guys are holding up banks
or
anything.
He and my sister-in-law, and I know a couple times there were some phrases, I don't know, in a movie or whatever, and they giggled, and my sister and I were like, I don't get it. And Sarah goes, my sister-in-law goes, I went to public school. I'm going to tell you what that means. She's the youngest. She's like 27.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you. She's like, Sarah, what does this bad thing mean?
Wouldn't it be great if the Marx Gores were a family of bank robbers?
Like this was their cover?
Oh, just the most
nicest,
polite.
Smartest people.
But wouldn't you respect the commitment to the bit
yes.
at this
yeah.
point?
Hell yeah.
It wouldn't be a bit so much as cover.
We're so sorry, but we're going to take your money.
What if they were spies?
No, they live pretty far out there. I think they're cooking meth.
Yeah.
It's
I was
going to
say.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Very inconvenient for spies.
They do have a compound. The family compound
yes,
is really nice.
Yeah.
It's almost like what you see like on Pablo Escobar.
That's, well, you know.
You guys have a beautiful...
You know my dad?
Pablo Marx Gores.
Hey, when's that first testosterone shot kick in?
I don't know.
About three.
Was it hours ago?
I don't know how
ago?
Long it takes. It was today, yeah.
But this is very exciting.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Why don't you Google
don't like,
how long,
how long it takes?
When I get him, it usually takes about 2 days.
Yeah, so
yeah.
We'll see you guys on Friday.
And when you know it, you know it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's the thing about the shots. The shots are a little more aggressive than the pellets.
There you go. I like aggressive.
What did they use pellets in baseball?
A lot of people do. I mean,
yeah,
like,
I've heard of the pellets.
A lot of people use the pellets for like I want to bodybuild and things like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, hello.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
I've been eating a lot of chicken.
Yeah.
The testosterone of the farm.
Yeah.
Chicken pellets.
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
Does he chicken shot up with testosterone? Big swole chicken. Yeah.
That's what they do at Costco. I don't know where Costco gets their chickens, but those chickens are a little bit too big.
They just work
out. And they're
out
a little chickeny.
A that's why they say it. That's why they call it being yoked.
You got it?
I get that.
They got it from chickens.
I got that.
The big chickens.
152 DGS. Thanks for podcasting the show. You should also be podcasting the Chris and Amy show. Especially today, they had Mayor Jones on. Can you kind of preview the folks for how that went?
Yeah, we had a conversation with her about the state wanting to take over the police force in the city of St. Louis, the Rams settlement money, and then, of course, our lingering questions about the simple city services like snow plowing and picking up trash and filling potholes.
Yeah, and I know that the trash thing was even a story today. I was talking to some friends who live in Soulard and downtown West, and there was a story about South City having an issue with, you know, their dumpsters being full, trash not being picked up. And it usually it's the very simple stuff that tends to, on a local level, tends to irritate people enough to motivate them to, you know, cast ballots. Right. So we have elections coming up. The primary is on the 4th of March. And then the general election will happen in April. And the question Amy and I have been talking about is how much will all of this, the snow removal that was a problem for a lot of people in parts of the city, the trash pickup, which isn't happening, how much that will carry over weeks from now? Because, again, it's going to be a few weeks before the primary, several more before the election. Is this enough to change things? I don't know, but
I think short memories.
People do. So, you know, if the election were tomorrow, maybe. But I do think that the interview we did today was pretty revelatory in a lot of ways. We covered a lot of topics with her, and she was willing to answer them.
She was.
People may not like the answers, but she gave us a good deal of time today, and we appreciate that. So I
give her credit.
Yeah, I would suggest people go listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she came in, sat with us for almost a half an hour.
Yeah.
Ronju did bring up the trips that she took and said, you know, all of the snow stuff is happening. People are trapped in their homes and you're in D.C. And she said, you know, I paid for the trips on my own dime and I'm advocating for the city of St. Louis. And that is something we need. We need people to advocate. But, you know, if you're out of town, it's great that you paid for the trip on your own dime. But people want their streets plowed and they want their trash picked up and they want their potholes filled. And they just want you to be there to say, hey, can you get it, right? You see how we're trying to get through day to day. I'm glad you're advocating for St. Louis, which is why we asked about the city manager. That Alderwoman Daniela Velasquez proposed a city manager so that the mayor could focus on the vision for the city and go advocate, but somebody would be there to do the day to day.
And I do agree with the idea that maybe for especially a city like St. Louis, that is really struggling to attract people from the outside to want to do anything or have anything to do with us, whether it's business or living here or whatever. I do get that maybe the mayor of the city might have to do more outreach than a mayor of, say, Chicago, who wouldn't really have to go travel to say, hey, come
we're
do
Chicago.
Business. We're Chicago, right? In St. Louis, you might have to take more trips. You might have to go more places and say, look, we're open for business, so come here. We're ripe for it. We need it, and you're going to love it here. So that I get, but there is a conversation about how much she should be gone and if that affected the snow response. I mean, I don't know if it did or not, but it's a fair question.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like the trips are that big a deal if stuff's being taken care of.
I don't think we'd even notice.
Right. Nobody, I mean, everybody's like, all right, fine, that's a thing.
And if there's something to show for it.
Yeah. But it's that's going to be down the road. But
right.
Yeah.